Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You see it all around you. Good love and all that. And usually it's too late when you realize what you have.
Welcome back, 17-2, 38 Special, bringing us back. I'm Jim Blasingame. We're rocking and rolling here on the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here, and I know you are too, especially now that you know our good friend Joel Barker's here. Joel is one of the top futurists in my world, and in yours too, whether you know it or not. He's the author of Future Edge. Also, but the one that turned me around, folks, was Paradigms, The Business of Discovering the Future, still available. Still out there, 20-something years ago, read the book, saw the video. Go out there and get your own copy. You will thank me later. JoelBarker.com, check it out. Check his blog out. It's fascinating. Joel, thanks again for being here. Joel always brings us folks great reports on research, yep, of things that are coming at us from the future. In the last segment, we talked about some hydrogen power breakthroughs that it's very exciting. Now, you know, CO2, you know, Joel, President Obama, his EPA declared CO2 a dangerous gas this decade.
Well, if you walked into a room with CO2 in it only, you would die. So
right.
It is a dangerous gas. but what he's talking about.
But at the same time, you and I can't live without it.
That's right. It's a different kind of danger. And it's the danger that is because it's a greenhouse gas. It captures heat and it helps hold heat on the planet. Mm-hmm. And we're at a point right now where we don't need that much heat held on the planet. We'd like to let a little bit more go. And so, in a sense, it's a long-term description of CO2 if we don't handle it. And
so,
the research coming from Washington State University is like the first glimmer, I think, of something you, Jim, have mentioned several times in our conversations over the years, which is why can't we turn it into a resource?
Right.
It's carbon, for Christ's sake.
That's
well,
right.
Right now, the reason we can't is because it's stuck on O2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got CO2. And what happened is Stuart Licht, who is a professor at George Washington University, has figured out a way to remove carbon dioxide directly from the atmosphere and produce high-value carbon nanofibers as a result of the process that he has developed.
Hmm.
And he, in the article, which, and I think this is important because a lot of people can say, well, you can do it, but it'd be cost too much. He said it's actually simpler and cheaper to do than to make aluminum.
So think about that. If we can literally just sit there and pipe it in from the atmosphere,
pull it in, and on the other side you're pulling these fibers, which
you know, if you could hook up all the talk shows, all the radio talk shows to his one of his hoses, we could probably supply the world with carbon dioxide. What do you think?
Could be. But the beautiful thing about this is it's very very new. It's a phase in paradigm development, a very early phase. And what they've got to do is figure out how to make the carbon fibers uniform so that they have industrial uses.
Mm-hmm.
And the other point he likes to make is he said, now this is the solar stuff. If we went to the Sahara Desert and set up our solar systems for heat, because, you know, we can produce very high levels of heat with focused solar mirrors,
mm-hmm,
and solar for the electricity, we could have a system that basically runs off sun power. And it would sit there in the Sahara Desert and suck out
a combination of technologies.
Yeah, exactly. You put them together, and all of a sudden you have. And now here's the thing: I mentioned to you that you like scale. He said we took only 10% of the Sahara Desert. That's a lot of desert, by the way.
That's right.
But take 10% of the Sahara Desert, run this process, in 10 years we could bring the carbon dioxide down to pre-industrial level.
Hmm.
So we're not going to probably do that. But if you said 20 years,
right.
And spread the technology around the equator of the world. We could bring it back.
How
and
close
actually
is he
become in control?
Is his project delivering, or is it still prototype?
Oh, it's all prototype. But in fact, what is it? It's proof of concept.
Right.
We can pull this out. The fibers do occur right now. They are regularly
shaped. Isn't this where technology transfer should get involved now?
Not yet. It's, you know, when I talk about paradigm development, I talk about the A phase, which is figure out
right.
the rules.
Right.
We're still in A phase, and if you don't have the rules figured out, you end up spending money kind of silly.
I see.
So what we want them to
so
do
we
is
need, we need to keep the geniuses involved a little bit longer till the application guys get involved.
Keep the money flowing to the geniuses so they can refine their process,
mm-hmm.
and then in comes the entrepreneurs, the GE buying the whole concept and building the whole system. I mean, it would be a heck of a project for GE and Siemens and,
mm-hmm.
Toshiba.
But see, I see a small business breaking in here with some kind of proprietary stuff and stealing the show from them.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
I'd love that. Wouldn't it?
And refining the process.
And it wouldn't. Don't put it past me to interview that guy before anybody knows it. By the way, you know, you talked earlier back to one of your first statements about. We'd like to release a little heat from the planet.
Yes.
The only thing that worries me as much about the climate change folks are worried that we're not releasing enough heat from the planet.
Yes.
I'm worried that the climate change people don't know how much heat to release from the planet.
Well, we do have some measures in terms of how the planet ran at various levels of CO2.
Yeah.
And what we know is for about 500 years, the CO2 was able to move up, and you know, a lot of people don't realize it, but when the Romans were in their height, they were putting a lot of CO2 in the air too. So it's happened a couple of times, and so it's like we've bumped up to the upper edge. We can back off of.
Promise me that you won't tip us into global cooling, because I'd rather have global warming than global cooling.
You know how fast
I can plant vegetables in global warming.
But global cooling is really easy to fix. You just burn carbon.
No, but you won't let me do that anymore. You ban carbon now.
See? If it got too cold, I'd say burn the coal.
You let me burn it. Okay.
Go ahead.
Joe Barker, ladies and gentlemen. JoeBarker.com. Hey, have you ever heard of metal that floats? Well, Joe's got a report on that coming up after these messages. It's Intel. I'm Jim Blasting Game. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.